big in the morning. Like all the like work folks, and they're right there. They're
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They don't want it.
I give them a medicine.
They
It worked.
Oh, he's out of it, man. It's great.
I'm not sure how.
All right, Steiner.
Get the gavel, say something pretty.
Good morning. I'd like to call this workshop to order. And if you please rise, I'd like to have Vice President Graves lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Good morning. And if I could turn over to staff.
Carol, call roll, please.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Dawson.
Here.
Yo. That's as good as it's going
to
get.
Okay, we're all here present. At this time, I'd like to open it up for public comments. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak may come up to the podium here and address the board. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commentator, and any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Anybody like to come up and speak? Seeing none, public comment is closed. At this time, I'd like to enter into the workshop item C1, a review schedule and of regular board of directors meetings for 2012, and I'll turn it over to staff.
Thank you, President Steele. Board members of the public, on the second page, the page right behind the agenda for today's meeting, is a list of calendar listing of agenda or board meetings for 2012. As you can see, there are two dates on there that conflict with holidays, one being July the 4th and one being November 21st, which is the day before Thanksgiving. I'm bringing this to your attention only because we don't need to take any formal action now, but just to let you know that is on the horizon, and we will adjust accordingly as we get closer to those meetings.
All right, thank you. Any
meeting adjourned?
Yeah, meeting adjourned. No, just kidding. Any comment from the board on this calendar? Okay. All right, at this time, item two, discussion of communications committee report to the board of directors. I'd like to open it up to staff.
Thank you again, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. The item before you, if you recall, at our last meeting, we transmitted the communications committee report to you, and it's on today's agenda to discuss. As you're aware, last year at this same meeting, the board directed staff to create a communications committee, which we did. The committee met a number of times over the course of the year and completed their efforts late last year. Serving on that committee were Vice President Graves and President Steele, as well as Jennifer Mixon, Amanda Dove, and Chris Middleton, at-large members of the public. The committee considered a wide variety and range of different options to help improve communications between the district and the public. It wasn't meant necessarily to improve how we communicate with the public on a day-to-day, on a one-to-one basis. It was meant how do we communicate our efforts as a board and as an agency to the public relative to board meetings, events that are taking place, workshops that might be taking place, things along those lines. So a number of items were considered and discussed, and those that rose to the top they're included in the report for you today, but it includes the use of social media, using Twitter and Facebook and things along those lines on our website so that people can follow and they can track what we're doing. We can go ahead and for example, if there's a road closure, we can go ahead and immediately put out that there's a road closure for whatever reason to those that follow us on Facebook and Twitter and any of the other social sites. The town's website, we've been working hard recently to make some upgrades to that site. Those are tedious and tenuous and frustrating at times, but I think we're finally getting there. The most of the improvements have been made. They just haven't been. There's a patch that needs to take place, and they're working on the final components of that. So the work has already been done. Once they flip the switch, it'll be the same look. It'll just be a little bit easier to navigate. We also have on that website, pending the outcome of this report, we did have them add the Facebook and Twitter icons so that those are on there. They're actually on the site now. You just can't see them. I've seen them, but you can't see them yet. Yes?
I just wanted to clarify the website. I think that it's really a great place to be a central communication point for the town and to communicate with the public on our current events. So the idea is that this will be the go-to location, and if people have questions of what we're up to or how things are going or what's new, it's easy for us to just direct them to our website, and maybe that'll be more efficient with our office people.
Well, what we're doing, you're right. And some of the other things that we're working on with respect to the website is the calendar. That's really been one of the struggles is getting the calendar set. So you can just go to the calendar and click on any day, and an event will pop up. So you'll know what is happening on those days. And that item has been a little bit of a struggle. We are going to be transitioning and putting more and more documents on the website here, so that documents that would make it not only easier for the public to access, but documents if you're so inclined, bored in the middle of the night, something just jumps into your head and you need to know where to find it, hopefully it'll be there. But also for staff, it'll make it easier for staff as well. So we're going to be working on that in the next couple of months to really populate the website with additional material. So that'll be taking place. One of the recommendations that came out of the Communications Committee was the development of a biannual newsletter. I'll pass a couple samples around. One is from Iron House and one is from Diablo Water. They distribute newsletters that are very informative, and the committee believed that twice a year would be an appropriate frequency for the newsletter. The cost of that newsletter would probably be about estimated around between $2,000 and $2,500 per issue. So we would be looking at possibly doing that. And the final item is the recommendation of a community message bulletin board, electronic sign, that would be at the northwest corner of Bixler and Highway 4, across the street from the gas station, in that quad where the Centex development is. The cost of the sign is approximately $30,000 shipped and delivered, and then about $34,000, and then in order to install it and get the electrical to it, probably about another $5,000 or $6,000. So we're looking at about a $40,000 cost item to put in an electronic message board. The benefit of the message board site, and I'll show you this.
I'll show you the site. This is the site.
The site is, you can see the gas station, and then the two homes there that back up to the intersection, and that was the preferred location. Pretty much anybody that goes in and out of Discovery Bay passes that location at one point or another. And so that would be? What's that?
Oh, Bixler and 4.
Oh, with the little hand on the...
Yeah.
Okay.
So it would be placed at that location. It's not in our budget currently for this fiscal year. If the board did choose to move forward with this project, we would include it in next year's capital budget. And that's the basically the recommendations that came out of the Communications Committee. And if the two sitting members of the board that participate in that committee have any additional comments, now might be the time to weigh in on those.
No, other than that was the one thing that the community brought to us. We've heard it over and over again in many different meetings, that being able to publish our board meetings to engage the public more readily, this was the one mode of communication that was brought to us in multiple from different people and at different times. So that was the reason for us looking into it. It really would give the community an opportunity to see what's going on, where it's happening, and also for current events within the district, and try to engage the community more, which was the goal of the communications committee.
We did look at a site similar to this one.
It's from the same company. You can see it's just a red LED versus the full color. The price difference is only about $1,500 between the red and the full color. So, and they're also all completely wireless. You would change it from your desktop sitting in your office. You don't need to go out to the site on a rainy day to make the changes. You do it remotely. So those are the recommendations of the committee. And staff would be looking to the board and seeking direction.
That the sign thing has been kicked around for a long time. And actually, considering the difficulty we have in reaching out to the community, I think it's time that we did it. I think it's a good idea. So I'd like to see it. I mean, plus say, like in the wintertime, say the levees are almost overrun and you can't run your boat more than 4 or 5 miles an hour. I mean, that's something that we definitely we could use that for. So there's a lot of good things, plus the meeting, so I would invest.
I think we also talked about portable signs, like what we use that we borrow from the Highway Patrol. So that was just another alternative. But the idea of getting the instant messaging out or a little quicker—that was the idea behind that.
If I may, it can also be used for different community events. There would have to be a board established policy on its use. For example. The Lions, is an acceptable use. The Lions crab feed has tickets for sale, because it can be ongoing. There can be like ticker tape of information, for example.
I think the intent was like non-commercial use,
a non-profit type thing. We'd have to, again, have to establish a policy.
I agree with a lot of what Ray said. This has been kicked around since I've been around, some kind of signage to let the citizens know what's going on. I'd like to see, there be some kind of, if we're going to do this, it's just a lot of money, and I don't know how many. I mean, we send out newsletters, we send out in the press, and we still fill the seats every meeting, so I don't know how beneficial that's going to be in the long run for us. I can see how it would be beneficial for the Lions, or for if the levees are, emergency type stuff, that would be very beneficial. I'm just concerned about the costs.
The cost of the one, I spoke to three or four different companies, and the company that gave us these samples, they're based out of Florida, and they do work all over the country. In fact, the sign out in front of Discovery Bay Elementary School is one of their signs. The signs in Rio Vista are their signs, so they do work all over. And they're part of the CMAS contract, which means they've already been competitively bid. It's the California Multiple Award Schedule. But because it is such a high-cost item, it's not an inexpensive piece of equipment, I would definitely do a bid process on it, knowing that this is already competitively bid, that we're going to, that is a firm price on that one, but I would still go out because the price, it is a costly item. I would still go out and do a bid on it. That's just for that. The $40,000 is just for discussion purposes. If we were to get this one signed, we might get something very similar for a little bit less money. One of the benefits of this company is everything is made domestically, and they don't have inferior products coming from other parts of the world. So. The quality, I think, is a little bit better in this one. And sometimes when you get better quality, it costs you more in the short term, but you save a lot of money in the long run.
Maybe this could be something that we could partner up with the school district, because I could see them wanting to use it as well. Maybe they could throw in a little.
We can certainly explore that. That's an excellent idea.
In as much as we're talking about using this for non-commercial, so the items we'd use it for is to announce a CSD meeting. We'd announce it in a rare occasion of a road closure. We don't have that many of them. What else would you use it for?
Just different activities. Some of the things that we're going to get a little bit further on with respect to the agenda a little bit later this morning is water conservation programs. So we need to start going down that road. The fats, oils, and grease program, we want to start doing recycling programs for that. There's a lot of things that in this year we want to start moving towards that we haven't done in the past. And so this is just another venue, another mechanism to get the word out.
Some of the stuff you have to look at, and I'm familiar with this because we do it in the car business all the time. Most dealers have them. They will tell you when you get it, you have to have something you can see at 50 miles an hour because when you blink, it's gone. So when you put something on that board that has more than one half of a sentence, they've gone by it before they see it. So to put water conservation or anything else, they're not going to read it. They're going to be going by it. They're going to go, what was that? So the only thing that would go under is something that sits solid, like CSD meeting tonight at 7:30, blah, 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 tonight at 7:30. That's all you see.
And that, the fact that it's at a stoplight also, so it's not like in the middle of a highway, so people will be stopping. And there will be the instance when the lights are green, and I'm sure from other directions that they'll go through.
And it's
but it is at a six-way stop.
Caltrans, because it is a state highway, Caltrans will have to approve it. They will need to get a permit from them, so we'll have to go through that process. And I know that they do have their own established criteria that it can't be. It's got to be a specific size, and it can't be too much information. You're exactly right. You have too much information too fast. You don't want to distract the driver.
The other thing that you're just talking about at this point, the maintenance is hellacious. You can go up into Vallejo. Team Chevrolet's got theirs on the side of the road. They put it in. Theirs is 2 years old. The guy's there every month, and they get a bill every month. So, I mean, these are things you have to decide you want to put in the budget. To me, if we had a ton of things that needed to be disposed to the community other than CSD meetings and a possible road closure, to spend $40,000 to put a sign up and then maintain it every month, and then as it wears out over the years, start replacing transformers, whatever else is inside of it, I think is a foolish waste of money. That's just my opinion.
Well, before you bring up a good point, Victor Simon, in that the maintenance, long-term maintenance, and certainly that's something to explore. We are recording the meeting, so that's the reason why.
I had a couple of questions about the sign because you're worried about your communication. I think this year you guys should really look at taking better care of the press and using the things that every member of this community gets free of charge every Friday. I mean, I found out about this meeting because it was basically this long at the back of the end of an article on the third page. And it would have been nice if you had, especially since it says Discovery Bay Press, maybe we have a box up in the front of the paper that says, this is what's going on this week. They didn't have anything about our meetings and any of the current events or anything else. And I don't know how much it costs, but I don't think it's going to be $40,000. And then I had an issue about the sign because I really don't hear anything about maintenance and depreciation and all the other things that kill budgets later on. So anyway, that's my comment.
Okay, so moving forward, I'd like in the future, we're not going to make any decisions today on this, but this may be an agenda item for an ad hoc committee. I think the communication, we can keep working on the improvement of that. So in the future, let's maybe put that on our agenda item.
Are you recommending that there be a communications ad hoc committee established of two board members to work with staff on these items?
I think it was a productive committee, and I'm glad we got through the first part of that.
Are we going to move on, or are we still talking about this? Can I make one comment? As to the social media, I think it's important before the board engages in that we have some clear set policies on who gets to update it, what's our policy on negative comments, stuff like that. Because if you put a Facebook page up, anyone who likes it can come on and say whatever they want on the page. So I just think it's important we have a policy on that.
It'll be set up. We did discuss that, and we actually went in and played with some pages. And it's going to be a one-way communication. It's not going to be a forum. It's not going to be a blog.
Gotcha.
Okay, moving on. So item three, discussion of the community center report to the board of directors. We're about 60 minutes on that, guys. Rick, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The Community Center Committee, again, was reestablished, reconstituted, if you will, as a result of discussions at this meeting last year. The Community Center Committee consisted of Directors Tetro and Steele, and at-large members and Discovery Bay residents Bob Abity, Jim Madison, and Sean O'Toole. They held their first meeting on April the 22nd of last year, and I think their final meeting, if I recall, was December the 6th, 5th or 6th, right? Yeah. And the committee met regularly. Some of the committee members went and visited a number of different community centers throughout the region, Concord, Livermore, Antioch. Where else?
Danville.
There was a veritable hit list of centers that we went and visited. The committee spent time evaluating those centers and the types of activities that went into those. But probably the largest piece of information that came out of the committee was the creation of the survey that was conducted. That survey, went live. Trying to find the date. I'm sorry. What's that?
A 90-day survey.
A little bit longer than that because we pulled it down. I think on September the 30th. June 8th. It went live on June 8th and stayed up until September the 30th. There were 457 respondents that started the survey, and 400 actually completed the survey. The survey results, the board has been presented them in the past, so I did not attach them to the package today. They are on the website if anybody wants to see them and visit them again. But the community center survey identified a number of things, but probably the most important thing was the preferred location of the community center. There were a number of different options that were given. The former gas station site across the street over here at Discovery Bay Boulevard and Sandpoint. The 1520 Discovery Bay Boulevard site that was discussed last year over in the Discovery Bay Shopping Center. The Discovery Bay Athletic Club site, which is right next to us right here. And the 12 lots, which is currently part of the conditions of approval for Discovery Bay West from the Hoffman Company. And for informational purposes, I can zoom in on the map there if you want and show you the 12 lots and show you a little bit closer the Athletic Club site, but I think we're all pretty familiar with them. If anybody wants to see them, I can do that. There were a number of sites that were considered. The sites that I just mentioned are the sites that were previously discussed by other committees and other committees. But yeah, you're right. There were other sites that were identified. But the one that rose to the top was the corner of Discovery Bay Boulevard and Sandpoint Willow Lake Road, the old gas station, and/or it wasn't specific to one side of the street or the other. It was just the intersection, knowing that there's two sites there. And the fact that the Athletic Club site is for sale and the other sites are not for sale, the committee, their first recommended action that they took was to, if you recall, was to recommend to the board that the board, at some point in time in the near future, purchase that site. And that was the first recommendation that came out of the committee. And if you recall, the board directed staff to meet with the Hoffman Company, Catherine Katsouris at the county, directors Steele or directors Tetro and President Graves at the time. We had a preliminary meeting with Catherine. I have reached out to her this week. I sent her an email asking her to give me some dates and times to wrap up that meeting with Hoffman Company and the rest of us that are involved in that meeting. And I actually ran into her last night, and she said that she would be getting back to me first part of next week with some dates on that. So,
meeting for which side?
No, for to discuss the Hoffman Company 12 lots and whether or not we can flip those lots into another site, because the 12 lots are what are currently approved. And the agreement requires that there be, the conditions of approval require, if there is an alternative site, that all parties must agree to that alternative site. So if there is an alternative site, the Hoffman Company would need to agree to a change in the location. So I don't know. So The committee evaluated. We had an architect that designed the original plans for the community center that were drafted a number of years ago. I believe the Lions Club paid for those plans to be drafted, the initial plan, and that was on the gas station site across the street. Things change and the cost change. So we identified a low and a high in the cost of approximately $200 a square foot for a facility to $300 a square foot for a facility. The $200 square foot facility would be a pretty much a plain Jane vanilla type of a facility, where a $300 square foot facility, not over the top, it's certainly a welcoming facility, somewhere that would be welcoming. We did include in the sizing of the facility adequate space to include town offices as a part to be included in the community center. So that's in there. So we're looking at an approximate 15,000 square foot facility up from an original approximately 10 to 12,000 square foot facility. The dilemma that we have and the biggest problem that we face as a community with respect to the community center is the construction and the long-term maintenance. They do not pay for themselves. Programming can pay for themselves. If you're going to offer dance classes, if you're going to offer cooking classes, if you're going to offer Taekwondo classes, you hire an instructor. They pay for the class. We get our administrative overhead back, but the day-to-day operations of the facility, staffing, maintenance, things like that, are not supported by user fees. It just doesn't happen. So there would need to be some form of ongoing revenue, and the committee recognized that, and in one of the recommendations it stated that there would need to be a parcel tax of approximately $100 per parcel in order for this project to be successful. That $100 would cover the debt to build the facility, and then the other portion of it would cover the annual operating expenses. So that's really the big issue there, is how to pay for it. If you want to turn to page 4 of the report, location we just talked about, funding considerations we just discussed, and on page 5, the facility needs, the I'm sorry, under at the top of page 5, under recommendation B3, under funding, one of the suggestions that came out of the committee, and we actually had a consultant in that field. Aaron. One of the items that came out of the committee was the creation of a community foundation that would be a separate agency, a separate organization of this board. It would be made up of members of the community. It could be made up of board members, and the goal there is to reach out and generate fundraising opportunities for not only the construction facility, but also ongoing operations. And so that was an item that was discussed. It's a 501c3 corporation. It provides a mechanism for corporations, individuals, to donate on a tax-free basis resources so that they're not giving money to the district, but they can do so in a charitable way through a foundation. So that was one of the recommendations of the committee. The facility itself, under recommendation C1, it lists a number of recommendations relative to what would like to be included in the facility. Three classrooms for different types of classes. A kitchen is listed in there, an auditorium that would be suitable to rent out for different facility, for different functions such as weddings, crab feeds, whatever might take place, but the room can also be broken down into smaller rooms, much like you would see in a banquet facility in a hotel ballroom. The Concord facility is very nice in that regard, and they've got a facility there where they separate the rooms and they can have different functions taking place at the same time. A caterer's kitchen, not a full-blown commercial kitchen, but almost a caterer's plus kitchen. One of the things that we were told routinely was ice. That was the thing that everybody said they wish they had more capacity to create, was more ice for their functions, and also to be able to in refrigeration so they can store foods. And it was interesting, I forget which facility it was, but one of them actually had bins in there that they could lock, and caterers in their community would rent these bins from them and store their supplies and come in and rent the kitchen from the community, from the city, if you will, and they in turn would then prepare all their foods there and take it out to wherever their catering event was. So that was an interesting spin that I hadn't thought about. Cooking classes was I think was the number one request that came out of the survey, was for cooking classes. So that was a lot of the communities used their kitchens as a classroom, and that was really we were surprised that that rose to the top of the list relative to the survey that we conducted. The community center would have to have leisure space activities. You can walk in, drop in, a senior component where folks can come in and play bridge, play cards, take nutrition classes. Organizations such as Kaiser, they offer these classes many times free of charge. They'll come in and provide an opportunity for members of the public, primarily the senior community, to have nutritional classes, healthy lifestyle, how to manage your money, things along those lines, so that the facility is used on a regular basis. And also, the senior component is probably going to be one of the largest daytime users of the facility, and the afternoon use would probably be more youth oriented. Going to page 6, just discuss the senior component. Mentioned that when we visited the Livermore facility, one of the successes that they have over there, it's a massive facility. If any of you have been there, it's absolutely incredible. But one of the things that before they constructed a few years ago, their staff was distributed throughout the community. They were in different locations, and they said the best thing that they did was consolidate all their staff to the one facility, and that was not missed on those that were on that visit, which was President Steele and committee member Jim Madison. And so we did include a component, a recommendation, that if there's a method of financing and paying for the district offices to move into that facility, into a community center, that that would be a beneficial option.
Well, should you figure that in, that in your first statement? You said you were talking about putting this in, so would we totally would be consolidating it? Would we?
Well, the committee was very specific that if there was to not just that there would need to be a funding component for the district offices to relocate to the facility. So it couldn't, it, we would need to, the district would need to pay their fair share, in other words, to buy into the facility, which is not out of the ordinary at all, to yeah. lease back.
It was really the intent of it is that it's not going to take away from the community center. This has helped to offset expenses, and it would be a separate funding mechanism for that component of that property.
Another recommendation that came out of it was, regardless of whether district offices were included in there, would be to have a sizable conference room. I call it a closing room. It's a nice conference room that members of the public can come in, they can rent. If they, there's a lot of people in town that have home-based businesses, and they look for places where they can have a conference room where they can meet with clients or suppliers or whatever. And so the idea of having a nice conference room that can be rented out and utilized on a rental basis, but also if we did have our offices there, it would also fulfill that need as well. Which would be nice because it would also provide a closed session room for the board. The facility under item D, again on page 6, would be to build a commercial-type facility, knowing it's a public facility, it's a recreational facility. It needs to be built to a standard that it's going to be, that it's going to last for a long time. It's going to be there. It's going to be there longer than we are. And so we put a minimum 50-year lifespan on that, which, again, as I mentioned on the other item with respect to the Communications Committee, you know, you build quality, and it'll last a long time. So the committee recommended that there be a space plan developed. And architect Mark Lee of Lee Jago Architecture, the architect that provided the initial design of the facility for the Lions Club a number of years ago, did provide a proposal to conduct that and do some preliminary design for a community center at the site, at the athletic club site. I think it's premature to enter into an agreement at this time for that. Because we don't know where it's going to go until our negotiations with the county and the Hoffman Company have been resolved. On recommendation D4, bottom of page 6, we would have professional staff involved that is versed and is in their career track in they're called leisure activities, parks and recreation type activities, and they get a feel for the community and they know what the community likes, what they don't like, what works, what doesn't work, with respect to programming, and the programming is what makes the center successful. So with successful programming comes users, which then support the center, and like I said, the programs are generally fee-based programs. You pay for the classes, whether it's a cooking class or whatever, and the you pay for the instructor. We would pay for the instructor. The students would pay for the class, and then we would get our administrative overhead back and pay the instructor. Those are the main bullet points, the highlights, if you will, for the community center, and that came out of the community center committee. The survey was very helpful. Again, the biggest sticking point is the funding for it and whether or not we can do the flip from the 12 lots to the to another site. The 12 lot, the 12 lots actually has some beneficial, there's actually some benefit to it over there, but there's a huge downside. It's beneficial in the fact it's close to the school. You can do some Boys and Girls Club programming. We have the school right here. We can do the same thing along with the church as well. It's right across the street from a park. The downside is right smack in the middle of a residential neighborhood. And if you're going to have any type of activities that go into the evening, that's not going to be a suitable location. And the committee recognized that early on. And after the survey results came in, it was obvious that the number one site was the Discovery Bay Boulevard, Sandpoint, Willow Lake intersection. And it's important to note that when we did conduct the survey, and one of the questions asked, would you be willing to support a parcel tax? And those that said they would be willing to support it, if it's the only way it's going to get done, if I remember correctly, was approximately 60%. So there is some support out there, but I believe that if we were to pursue that you would need to conduct a more statistically valid survey, similar to what the fire district has been doing with respect to there. So that's all I have on this at this point in time. If the members of the committee, President Steele, Director Tetreault, Director Tetreault was the chair of the committee, would like to weigh in and add anything else, it would be great.
Yeah, well, I thought the committee did a good job. I thought the output, I was a little skeptical going in. What I thought we came up with was valid, good information and a kind of a template on how we go about it. And I see that I would like to see us do several things. This year I'd like to see us try and accomplish nailing that property. Is the athletic club. Obviously, there's things we have to do beforehand to try to do that, but we should push forward with that. And I think Fisher cut bait with this thing is whether we can pass a ballot measure to ask for the community to pay money. If that doesn't pass, then there's no community center. I mean, we need that. The committee recognized right off the bat, and we also mentioned this foundation, and I think a lot of the committee are skeptical about the foundation. The foundation would probably have enough money to keep it running, but we don't really have significantly big business in Discovery Bay that could put big, large blocks of money into this kind of thing, in my opinion. So I think really, the money that we need to get is going to come from this ballot measure. So that needs to happen. Those are basically the two things that we need to do. If we got the property and say we didn't pass the ballot, I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, there's a lot of options for that property. I mean, there's a lot of people are interested in it. It might be a great investment if I held it for. So that's my
point
on that.
Yeah, again, it's a great community. We've got a good team there on the committee, and I think that right, you're right on. There's a possibility of foundation there, but I think that in the short term we need to tie down a piece of dirt that's going to be the future site, and I think that the importance of this has been over 20 years now that the county and the town has had this project on a back burner. So I think this year we need to keep it on the front burner, and I'd like to make in the future agenda item would be form an ad hoc committee and keep the communication committee going, and so that's what I would recommend on that. I think the intersection is a great location for the future community center, and I think there are resources in the community that are untapped until they see a clear vision or plan that may help contribute to the construction and setup of that property. In the short term, that could be a property could be a irrigated and become just a large park area until we got to the funds for the next phase. This would be a phased-in project. It may take 5, 10, 20 years to build it out to its full. But I think that we need to get that stake in the ground and really be clear on what that's going to look like down the road.
Yeah, a couple of things. I don't see, I guess I was hoping that I would see if there was a recommendation with regards to fundraising, that there would be some actual numbers with regards to what this parcel tax would include, how much it would be for, would it be ongoing? I'm sorry, did it say that? I was looking for it. I might have missed that. And is it ongoing forever? Is there an accelerator built into it? Does it have a sunset? Is it something that? And then the other concern, because you know, it's only because I'm, you know, been so active with the fire. PCCFPD parcel tax, you know, that's another tax. There's $200 that's being added to our taxes there, and is the community willing? It's just it's just something to consider. It just may be bad timing that might cost us something there. We need to be aware of it and be conscious of the fact that there's another parcel tax that's going to be hitting us. People keep hearing tax, and it may be detrimental to our efforts, is what I guess I'm trying to say. So appreciate the work of the committee. I think that we should probably rely on staff to move forward with some options here, whether it be starting to negotiate some things with some other we have some opportunities to partner with some other organizations here locally to help maybe defer some of the costs next of that property. I know the church is interested in doing a couple of things, and I think that I'm not quite sure if we need to develop committees to do this or just direct staff to do it. It seems like we're getting all committee bound here all of a sudden. But
we actually have a community center ad hoc committee, and it's President Steele and Director Tetro. Okay. And that was reaffirmed at the last board meeting. So that committee is in place as part of the committee listings that the board did last week.
Right.
So that ad hoc committee is already in place, and they can certainly continue to meet on that. And as they were both on the community center committee, it's an appropriate combination, if you will.
Can I just, you said the fact that the fire board has a stack, and I'm thinking back, it's a flashback, because I was sitting in the same dais, and prior years, we're talking about doing this kind of a thing, and the same thing. Well, we got these other things. It's never going to be the right time to go out and ask for money. We just have to do it.
Well, yeah,
it's
just, you just need to be concentrated.
I understand that, yeah.
I'm absolutely in favor of doing it. It's time we either do something or don't do something at all. The only concern I have at this point, the one thing we have not done, if you're looking to go to the public for money, we have no hard numbers of any kind. We need to do a forecast and find out what it's going to take to run this place, and we aren't even close.
Absolutely.
The other thing I'm looking at is you're looking at the difference between a 10,000 square foot building, which is huge, and a 15,000 square foot. That's a ton of money. Do you need 15,000 feet? Could you get by with 10,000 feet and have room to add on later in time?
That is... We would identify that, Mark, or I'm sorry, Director Simon, as part of the space plan that would be developed, and that would be the first thing that we would do before we put any numbers. We're using a range of 10,000 to 15,000 right now. Don't know where it's going to come in at. We would need to identify based upon what the community center committee recommended that they would like to see in the facility, and then we would have the space plan, the designer, then take those requirements and drop them in, and then they would identify, and that would be one of the first things that we would do. That would be the first, other than if you want to lock up the land ahead of time, but that, once the, if the board decides to move forward with it, that would be the first thing that we would do, would be to develop that space plan.
The other thing that we didn't talk about at all, you're talking about different center in daytime uses, nighttime, you're going to have a full staff in there. You're going to need caretakers, you're going to need a reception area, you're going to need staff. And you're going to have to forecast that in. And I think before we do another thing, and this again is from running a business, and this is a business, I think before you do another thing, and you even remotely consider asking the public for tax money, because I know if you came to me and said, would you vote for $100 tax, if I knew what I was voting for, I probably would. But if you came in and said, we think it's going to be this, we think it's going to be that, I would tell you, come back when you know. So I think we should get a hard dollar amount and figure just so much per square foot to operate it.
We haven't put together a staffing plan for a couple of reasons. One is that is something that we would recommend hire that out, bring in an outside consultant that's in the business of doing that, and they are out there. Farron attends the CPRS conferences, and those are they're there for the taking. You pay for them to come in and do it, but they will put together they will help you put together a whole operational plan. When I've been involved in it, I was involved with the library project a number of years ago, and we did that exact same thing. We brought in a library consultant to help us develop the staffing plan and the whole thing before we ever even turned dirt.
That's what it should be. So, I mean, I'm thinking that if you can get down where you can cut a few thousand square feet off this building, you may make it a doable project where it's not now. So.
Well, let me just interject that we're also going to add basically the town's
right.
function in there. So the part of the building that is for the town is going to be funded by the district and not by this money we collect from the taxes.
No, but I mean, if you put an upstairs office in it, put offices upstairs and for the town, you could actually have almost the same usable space downstairs for a lot less money, and we'd still pay our part.
Oh, so on two floors, that's a two-story job.
You can make part of it. I mean, you can put one wing on it with a two-story. There's a lot of ways to do it. They did it in Escalade.
With all due respect, these are things I think that the ad hoc committee, these are pretty obvious issues for the ad hoc committee to be addressing, and I think we're kind of putting the cart in front of the horse in designing the building at this point. So, I think that exactly what you're saying, Director Simon, in that these were things I think that ad hoc committee would get together with. I mean, at this point, we're just saying, okay, now we have gotten the report, and let's move forward with getting some very concrete ideas on exactly what we're going to how this may look, and if that means getting Mark Lee involved more with it at that point to give us some operational schematics and vision. Then that's what we should do. So I don't know if this takes a motion or not, but I would be in favor of moving forward with that and getting some more concrete ideas and some space planning, staffing models, funding, all that kind of stuff would be the next step, I think.
Yeah, when it comes to the parcel tax, I agree with one of the things that Mark said, that when you go and you ask for a unicorn, something no one's seen, and say, we need $200 for this, it's not going to pass. So what I was thinking is, we do have the power of recreation. We could start creating some recreation-type activities now that could benefit. Like, look what we're doing now with this. We'll create a community center, all that stuff. So we could be doing some small things now leading to the community center. That's my comments.
Stay tuned, Director Dawson.
So we need to keep charging with the county on alternative site and bring that back for an agenda item. Okay. Any comments from the public? Come on up to the podium, please.
I'm technically a resident also. I'll take my lashings later. I actually have a few things I wanted to just kind of point out. One of the things I didn't hear today, which is when I hear all the time going to the CPRS events, is partnering with the YMCA. They're a huge organization. I don't know if anybody's contacted them yet, but they have a lot of resources and a lot of experience in this type of thing. I sat through a very informative training last fall where I thought it was the city of Moraga, but I think I'm mistaken. But they were running all of their facilities, their aquatics, their community center, at a deficit every year, like $1.5 million. After they partnered with the YMCA, they're bringing in $600,000 a year on revenues from that partnership, from running it differently, from looking at it differently. And besides the YMCA, we're unincorporated county. We're not a city. And there are other communities out here who also need recreation. We haven't looked at Byron or talked to Byron or Knightson or people who are around us who may be interested in having some sort of recreation program for their constituents as well. If the intent is to run the community center as a through the recreation program, I think we also need to take a look at the same time that committee needs to look at our parks. And I know everybody's aware that we're trying to get ownership of the parks from the counties, and if we're going to do a park and rec district, that may be an easier way to sell to the community, that instead of just we're just paying for this community center, this is what we're doing, as Brian said, and really go off of that. I think that we, and I know that's on this year's planning, is trying to get recreation going, but part of that is bringing the parks in and looking at the districts we currently own and sitting down and talking to the county and the people who are involved with that. And then I also just wanted to say, if we did, there are grants. I mean, I know we didn't talk about that either. You guys talked about foundations, but if you have a clear goal, a clear vision, and this is going to be health-related, or the community center or recreation program is going to be supportive of health and getting people active, that's going to open us up to other things that we can qualify for. And even if we partnered with other communities and the per capita changed for, than what we're just looking at for Discovery Bay, there's a lot more opportunity. And I think that while this was very extensive, there were a lot of things that were missed and not considered.
The one of the things that I've always been a proponent of, and Farron's right, is the YMCA. And I've been using the term almost interchangeably with Boys and Girls Club, because they do a lot of the same thing. Where I worked before, we did partner with the YMCA for one of our recreation centers we had, and it was a very beneficial operation. And that is certainly something that I know is at the committee level we didn't discuss, but I don't believe that would have been something that we would ever not consider moving forward. They do bring a different operational mindset to the table, and I think that more likely, Farron, they were running fitness programs. They have a certain set of criteria that the Y has, that the Boys and Girls Clubs have, if you partner with them, you have to meet their, they kind of take over operational control in some areas, not in all, but in some areas, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, that's okay. If they want to come in and run all your recreation program, not recreation, all your fitness programs, they're really good at it. They run a lot of great programs for youth and for all segments of society. So what we did discuss, although it wasn't part of the report, we did discuss the fact that this facility would be available to the region. It certainly, you don't have to be a Discovery Bay resident to use it. It is open to anybody that wants to come in and pay to play, so to speak. And the classes, a lot of times the communities, they'll offer a resident fee and a non-resident fee. So if you live in town, you pay a lower fee than you would if you lived outside of town, if you lived in Byron or Knightson or something like that. But certainly it would be open to everybody.
This is just an early part in the journey on this project. So any comments for the public, please?
I better give you a little bit of a background. I've been out here since 1980, and I raised three kids out here. And I don't see what you're talking about sounds like a senior center to me. It does not sound like something that the whole family can use who have children and who have teenagers. And you really do need an aquatic facility, especially if they're going to get rid of the athletic club. And you do need things like bocce ball courts, and you need picnic areas and things where the family can go out there, take their children, and actually make use of the facility. And if you want to pass a tax parcel, you have to address that. We are not all senior citizens out here. at all, you know. And the problem is that if you just tear, especially if they tear down the athletic club, there's no pool out here. There's no library out here, which drives me nuts. Okay, there are so many things that we don't have that are fundamental to even a small town. So if you're going to look at a senior center, if you want a tax, you could probably get $200 per parcel. If you said, this is what you're going to get in the way of free, and I do mean free, exercise, aquatics, things like that, where every member, every family out here can see a benefit that's not going to cost them a lot of money. And this pay-as-play really does not, I think most taxpayers are so sick of it, it's not funny. You've got to have some free things that are a foundation where I, as a community, I mean, I can bring my grandkids in and, I don't know, go play tiddlywinks. But you see what I'm saying? I mean, I hear, what I'm hearing right now sounds like the senior center over in Brentwood. Okay? I mean, it's just, and guys, you've got schools that rent out spaces and things like that, so you really could have potentially a lot of competition. So I'd like to see something that's much more community-oriented and for keeping our young people busy. You could go into the shopping center, and we watch when those kids get out of school. They harass all the merchants. They have no place to go. And, you know, and there are a lot of parents out here. They're not home till 5 or 6 or 7 in the evening. And you've got those hours after school. And I don't know of a teenager yet where you can say, oh, why don't you go to the community center and do the Y thing? Maybe for swimming. Maybe for something like that. But, you know, especially at that age, they'll just think it's dorky. It's probably a dorky term, isn't it? So anyway, that's... I've been listening for years, and I still... And the library is such a disappointment. That's not a library, guys. I mean, every town in Iowa has a library. It's a real library. And you need something where the kids can come in, and they can basically... And the adults can come in and use the computers free of charge. And that kind of thing. So... I don't think you will sell what you're talking about in the way of community, because it's just too narrow in focus. That's my good.
Any other comments from the public?
Since there's only two.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we have bocce ball courts, we have horseshoe pits, we have these things in town that don't, that people don't use now. Now, granted, that's part of the reason that we're in a rehab with them at this point, to make them, to revive them and bring them back. But we have an extensive park facilities available for families, and this would augment that, I think, is what we're looking for. We're not looking to develop another park area, although I understand those activities, and I agree with the aquatics of 100%, but we already have those activities in the community.
The community center is not a facility that has every recreational opportunity that a community can offer at that location. It's just a component of the entire recreation program of the community. We have playgrounds at all of our parks. We've got a splash pad. We've got basketball courts at some of at three of our parks. We have bocce ball courts. We've got horseshoe pits. The community center is from the committee standpoint, and correct me if I'm wrong for those that sat on the committee, is not intended to be a senior center at all. It is intended to be a center for all residents of all ages, but that there would be a senior component, just like there would be a youth component. When we refer to pay to play, that is when we offer classes. If you want to come in and take a cooking class, those are generally not offered free of charge. We have to pay an you'd have to pay an instructor, and so you would be reimbursed, and you would pay for the class. There would certainly be free activities in the facility. There would be more than likely a nice room where you can, a quiet room where you can go and read. Like you might have a reading room in a library or something along those lines. So I just don't want you to think that it's a senior center and that's what we're focusing on, because that's not the case at all. It would be a facility for residents of all ages.
So we've got a great active lifestyle community here on the Delta, and I know the community center is going to help support that. So let's move on to the next item. Let's see here. Board goals and objectives for 2012, 2013, and beyond.
Yeah.
Thank you, President Steele, members of the board, members of the public. I have a short presentation. Did everybody in the back get a copy of the PowerPoint? Everybody's got one back there? Carol, I believe they're back there? Okay. This is, as you know, is a photo of our most recent project that we completed this year at Cornell Park. And contrary to the article in the Discovery Bay Press about Oakley's, the only accessible, all accessible park in the community or playground in the community, this is an all accessible park, and it was there before Oakley's Park. So I don't know where they got that information, but we beat them to the punch by a couple of months. This project, as you know, was completed with the use of Park WW grant monies, some district funds, some Zone 8 funds, and Director Steele takes his children there regularly, and I've seen him on that little spinning machine out there running around. So, after the meetings. This is hard to see on the big screen, and that's why I want to make sure everybody got a copy of this. This is just a listing of some of the accomplishments. The first page and the next page that we've had over the past year. Some of them are trivial in nature, some of them are big, but nonetheless, these are some of the things that we've accomplished together as a board, as a community, and as staff over the last year. That was on the administrative side. Some of the parks and water and wastewater projects and successes listed on the next page. It's important that we continue to celebrate our successes because we need to make sure that we continue to be successful in everything that we do. I'm pleased to see a list like this, and it's certainly it's certainly because of the hard work of a lot of people, is what I'm trying to say. But it comes at the direction of the board, and we're certainly appreciative of that. Again, a little hard to read on the screen, but you have it there in front of you. On our website, we do have a mission, vision, goals, and value statement. It is posted up there. And I'll be the first to admit, I didn't know about it until just a couple of days ago. I didn't see it. President Steele brought it to my attention. In conversations with President Steele, we did discuss that possibly it's a fairly cumbersome set of mission, vision, goals, and value statements. It's too much, frankly. And I know that President Steele would like to develop a mission and vision statement for the district that would be appropriate. So I bring that to your attention only to show that that we do have one. And this is really where the rubber hits the pavement. For 2012 and beyond, we have a number of issues facing the district. The biggest one, as you are well aware, is our capital infrastructure needs relative to the recommendations that are coming out of the water and the wastewater master plans. Increasing water quality, regional water quality control board regulations. Late yesterday afternoon, I received an email with two bills that I'm in the process of reviewing they were just introduced yesterday, as a matter of fact. I believe SB 46 and SB 45 and 46. And those could have an impact on our discharge requirements as we discharge into the Delta. The ECC FPD funding, while it doesn't directly affect this board, it does affect quality of life in general in Discovery Bay and our safety and security. Improved communications, I think that'll be on every chart every year as we continue to improve communications is the message that we put out to the community as a district. again, another one that will be on pretty much each year is maintain financial stability. At the last board meeting, the board had adopted the reserve policy, and at the next meeting, we're going to be bringing to you an investment policy as well. So those are things that we want to make sure that we maintain our assets as a fiduciary responsibility to the public. The community center, the next steps, we just discussed that at length. Increased cost of doing business. You know, we're still in an economic downturn, but things are turning around. And as we start to see things, prices are starting to rise in some areas. We are looking at doing some partnering with some of the different agencies that are in our business that buy some of the same products as we do. And we're looking at partnering with them to get some better pricing on some things. So those are things we're always looking at. Again, the aging infrastructure, that goes part and parcel to the master plans, but also looks at the things we don't see, the underground utilities, the underground infrastructure that we own, the pipes that are underground and that type, the water lines, the sewer lines. I sent the board an email, I believe, the other day regarding the governor's plan to eliminate the Department of Boating Waterways and to consolidate that with the Department of Parks and Recreation, what impact that will have on us as a water, as a residential community on the water, I don't know. But I can't imagine that Department of Boating Waterways, contrary to what they say, after they've just spent $3 to $4 million applying the application of the sonar product in Discovery Bay for the Egeria densa problem we've been having, I can't imagine that they would just walk away from it. But if Department of Boating Waterways does go away, then I see that as a very real threat. Department of Boating Waterways money comes back, whatever revenues that they get, and they get it through, they're a big landowner. They lease facilities to marinas and launch ramps, and so they have a revenue source, and those revenues come back to the source. And so if those revenues are now commingled with State Parks and Rec, what's going to happen to Department of Boating Waterways money? Because Department of Boating Waterways is now gone. And my fear is that those funds would be going into to help subsidize and support some of the state parks that are closed and that would want to reopen. So that's certainly a threat that I think we should all be aware of. Director Simon's favorite list item on the list, water meter installation. We are, we're still a few years out. I can tell you we do get phone calls, we do get emails, and we do get requests. I want a water meter. And they are starting to bang the drum a little bit more and more out there. Besides the fact that other than just the operational impact of putting water meters on the remaining 3,000 homes in Discovery Bay, it certainly helps those of us that, or certainly helps those, and would help our operation in that when there's water leaks in a home, people would know about it. There's a lot of water leaks people don't know because they're not metered, and so they don't see the spike. I have a property, and last year I had a water leak, and my track was nice and even. All of a sudden it was vertical, and I knew I had a leak and had to get repaired. So I think that is something that I would recommend that we begin to address sometime in the relatively foreseeable future. Is that soft enough for you, Director Simon?
Nice sales pitch.
Stigmatization is facing us and not commentary.
I think we need to go. Let's go into the public and see how they feel about you putting our water.
We continue to work on providing information to the public in a transparent manner. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be spending some time putting a lot more information on the website, so it's readily accessible to the public, to anybody that wants to get it, including the board and staff, and projects that are coming forward. They're starting to get through the process. I know Pantages. I received the portion of their EIR draft
the draft of the draft EIR that impacts us this past week. I haven't been able to look at it, Mark. I'm sorry, but I'll get to it. And I know that the Hoffman Company is starting to look towards future developments as well. The Newport Point project is, they're moving their project through. Don't know where they're at with theirs, but I do know that they are starting, those projects are starting to heat up a little bit and are starting to make their way through the process. Pantages most is really working their way through the project, through the process. Their draft EIR is almost complete, and so that's that. Do you have any questions about any of these items? Is there anything on here that you think we should add, subtract?
Improve transparency. I think that's something that we can change the word to maintain. I think we're very transparent, and I think over the last 2 years we've taken great steps to be even more transparent. And in many cases, we go above and beyond the actual state law. So I think to have improved feeds into the idea that we are not transparent, and that's pure poppycock.
Yeah, I think we're all striving for excellence on our transparency. So
I use this list in day to day, just so we know what's happening, and as a almost as a roadmap for staff in terms of some of the things that are going on out there to keep an eye on, and I just want to make sure that. These are the things that I kind of track personally, and so if there's something else that you think that's out there that we should be keeping an eye on that I've missed, now is really a good time to bring those up. So,
the other thing I think you should add on here, because you're talking about future development, you may want to word something in here about some kind of a dialogue with prospective builders, because there's going to come into play Well 7, which they're going to be participating greatly in, because there's no water form right now. You have builders who are in the EIR process right now, they're coming through it, and when they come through it, there's no water delivered to it.
Yeah, we've been having those discussions, and in fact, the Water and Wastewater Subcommittee is going to be meeting this coming Wednesday with Veolia, Veolia staff, the consultants, John Fawcett and Ludo from Scalmanini, and our staff to finalize the water master plan. If you recall, the board directed staff to reassess the opportunities that we might have to increase well production. We've done that. Those studies have been complete, and they are being dropped into, if you will, into the master plan. So we're going to review that one final time at the next week before we bring both the water and wastewater master plan back to the board. And I have had discussions with both David and with Mark Armstrong, in fact, with Mark and David as recently as this week, on exactly what you're talking about. So that is taking place.
I know we're talking about issues facing the district here, but I think that the water diversion to Southern California is a concern for me as a citizen here and the board, and I don't know how that affects our water quality out here. So I think we need to be vigilant in watching the activities and putting our concern out there to the public and to the other. We should work harder to work with our other government agencies on input for that issue.
Sir?
President Steele? I would suggest that I agree 100% with that, those comments, and I would suggest that we invite Supervisor PIFA to come in and address the board on that, because she sits on various Delta conservation committees and water committees, and it's been actively involved, not only at the state level, but at the federal level and some of that. And she may be able to enlighten us as what we can do as a community to, in fact, and give us information that we don't have at this point on what's going on with that. You know, they're talking about another set of gates. They're trying to avoid the two gate down here, and now they're moving it up into Three Mile Slough or something up in the other side to try to divert some more water that way and avoid the billions of dollars it would cost to put in that the other diversionary system. So we may want to invite her.
I'll call her and put it. Request in order to have her come to one of our board meetings.
I think that what Governor Brown's trying to do with closing one of the departments is a part of this process for the diversion of water, and so I'm concerned about that.
Just so everyone knows, the peripheral canal bill was killed yesterday.
Any comments from the public? Please come to the podium.
Okay, moving on then. This is the next page is a list of goals that I've put together for this coming year. I discussed these with staff as well as with President Steele, and these are some of the programs that I'd like to move forward with in 2012. I'm just going down the list. Water conservation education programs. The newsletter that I'm hoping to move forward with, we can, if the board is, bring that back for an action item later. But if this would be a perfect opportunity to start informing the public about some about different water conservation efforts. There are some grant opportunities if you have water conservation programs out there. And as a water agency, I think it's appropriate that we have water, that we begin to promote water conservation. It is a, you know, when you have it right outside your back door and it's all around you, it's hard to think about water conservation, but it is a resource that we do need to conserve. Another item that we want to put in place this year is it's referred to as a FOG program, fats, oils, and greases. People dump them down their garbage disposals and they clog up our systems. And it would be our goal to offer a, Bernie and I talked about the other day, maybe not a monthly, but a quarterly drop-off point where members of the public can come and drop off their fats, oils, and greases, and we need to explain to them that it's not a good thing just to drop your bacon grease down the garbage disposal and because it causes problems. And so we want to go ahead and put that program in place.
This may be where we team up with our waste management company that's bringing out the new recycling program here.
Bernie, you're familiar with these types of programs. Do you want to maybe give us a real quick?
Hello. Yeah, generally what you do is you come up with a program to notify the community of monthly or quarterly or biannually or yearly, but usually quarterly, that you have a dump site for all their grease, because you need to make it convenient for the community, because it's easier to dump it down the drain as to take it somewhere else. But usually you send out some type of monthly flyer or quarterly flyer just to show them what happens when they continue to dump down the drain. You have plug-ups on your sewer lines go from an 8-inch down to size of a needle, and it takes a lot of work to repair those. You just start having a lot of problems, so you start educating the community what the issues are, and it takes a while on a new program, but eventually people buy into it, and it becomes a successful program. It's just something I think we need to look at here is real critical with the systems we have.
Thank you. One of the next things is I'd like to put together, and I've been working with talking to Farron about it, would be an Earth Day volunteer project for 2012. That would be a project that we would select a part of town, and we would invite the public to come in and help us renovate, plant trees, plant plants. It brings the community together with an opportunity to do something good around the Earth Day philosophy. And so we're working on that right now. We've talked about some different options. But once that gets a little bit nailed down, we'll get back to you and let you know exactly what we're going to do there. One of the things we're looking at doing is changing out our lift stations and a lot of our pump stations, their radio, line of sight radio, and we're looking to upgrade those to a little bit better connectivity. So that they connect with our SCADA system more efficiently, and so we're looking at doing that. Another area that's an issue is unwanted pharmaceuticals. People drop them down there. A lot of people flush them down their toilets. That's not a good place for them. It's not good to leave them in your medicine cabinets either, so what do you do with them? We're going to be identifying some pharmaceutical drop-off locations. A lot of times pharmacies will do that for you. Doctor's offices, Kaiser, I believe, has a drop-off facility. I don't know that there's any here in our area. I know CVS doesn't do it. I've discussed it with them. Safeway doesn't do it. I believe Walgreens in Brentwood does it, but I want to try to explore some opportunities with CVS to see if we can work out an arrangement with them so we can have Safeway for an unwanted pharmaceutical drop-off location.
What about the fire department?
Fire department, some fire departments do it. There's issues with pharmaceuticals not being handled properly, so they need to be in a controlled environment.
The sheriff's substation.
Maybe that's a great idea. Our belt press dewatering project, that's out to bid right now. Our bid due date is February the 8th. We anticipate having the award a bid to you on the second meeting in February. So that will be moving forward. We should have that project completed this year. Actually, it should be completed by May if everything goes according to plan. We're going to readjust or reschedule the pickleball sport court project from Slifer over to Cornell Park. That'll be taking place. The next item on the list is obtain ownership of the county-owned park, Slifer and Regatta. We've been talking to the county on that. The county is currently working with another CSD to do the exact same thing, and they're going to use that process as a template, so when that project is complete for them, it will then transition over for us, and we will be able to hopefully obtain ownership of those two parks in the relatively near future. What do you think the timing on that might be, Farron? Do you know?
I think they're in
negotiations. So we should hopefully get on there, get to the table with them soon. The leash-free park. Counties indicate to us that they will not approve leash-free park at Slifer Park until we have ownership of the park, and so that step needs to take place first. Recently, we
didn't know that at the time of the.
We knew that they were hesitant, but we didn't know that they would not do it.
And I prefer they give it to us.
Yeah.
I think we're
all the next item on the list is something that I wanted to bring to your attention, only because this would not be on our 10-year horizon this year, but at some point in time, we need to start looking at decommissioning wastewater treatment plant number one. As we build facilities, I don't want to build facilities at plant one, I want them all to go to plant two. As a ox ditch, as the oxidation ditch at plant number one, it's 40 years old at this point in time. At some point in time, it's not going to be worth maintaining anymore. You're going to have to build another one. Like I said, it's outside our current planning horizon, but I just want you to recognize that I would not necessarily be in favor of building new facilities at plant one when it makes sense to build them at plant two as we move forward. So this is just something that I'm bringing to your attention. I'm not planning on doing anything about it, but it will be on a 10-year horizon. It will hit the 10-year horizon within the next 10 years.
Can I comment on that for a second? Bray may want to chip in on this too, but my feelings is I understand what you're saying, and I agree that as we look at our current 10-year plan and what we need to do for infrastructure, that we keep that goal in mind as we allot space and area to plant two to allow for future conversion over to keep everything in one central location. And if that's what you're referring to, that's great foresight on your part. I appreciate that we would actually look at how we would lay that out so we're not continuing to put jigsaw puzzles together in places they don't fit. And I think that's a great foresight.
It's not something I'm looking to do anytime in the near future, but it will be hitting as the next big improvement comes into place at plant one, which will more than likely be the replacement, Bernie, of an ox ditch over there. Well, yeah, I know about that, but I'm saying 10 years from now. it doesn't make sense to rebuild it there. At that point, it makes sense to rebuild it over at 2.
Well, let me just make a comment on that. And I would say that's an admirable thing to have. And in the perfect world, we'd all like that.
Perfect world.
But in the more practical world, it's not just a matter of if, well, the ox ditch, we have to build it over the other plant, because it's all that other stuff that goes with that in Plant 1 that we use. Plant 1 is an active part of running our waste treatment program. We can't run the plant without Plant 1. Not just the ox ditch, but the clarifier and the blah, blah, blah.
You're right.
And now we're also going to be doing that, rebuilding that one lift station. We're going to be putting a lot of work, money, into Plant 1 right now. So, I mean, this is just maybe, this is a very long-term project, because we're talking about spending a whole bunch of money this year.
Well, with that is, well, yeah. That, Director Tetra, that issue of lift station W,
yep.
And that emergency lagoon, that's what brought this to my forethought, yeah. Is that we're going to be spending a lot of money there, and so are we better off spending a lot of money there, or are we better off spending it over Plant 2? And we do have a facility, we do have an emergency storage facility over Plant 2 that could be developed. It's not currently, it's there. It could be developed as an emergency storage facility over there. It would cost more money to do that than we're looking at Plant 1, though. So we're going to be discussing this future, but this is something I just wanted. I just want the board to start thinking long-term strategically as we put improvements. We're going to continue to maintain it as we, to levels that are required. But as we go to put in new facilities, we need to make sure those facilities are programmed and planned for over Plant 2. That's all. And that's the only reason I'm bringing it to your attention. The next item on the list would be to develop and establish a recreation program. Hopefully something this year we can get going on. Director Dawson alluded to it earlier. And I know it's something that President Steele is interested in doing, and we discussed this yesterday. As I've already discussed, using the website for additional public access. And another item is to make sure that we have the proper amount of professional development for our staff. And so as we move forward into the next year, those are some of the goals that I have as we move into the next year. And I would like to have some comments, feedback, suggestions, add-ons, deletions, again, from the board, because these are the types of things that I'm looking forward to in the next year that we're going to be moving as from a staff standpoint. Now, I did put the wastewater treatment plant decommissioning only as I just want you to think about it, that's all, at this point in time.
At this time, we're going to stop the meeting. And we're going to take a 5-minute break, returning at 10:35. All right, so let's get this meeting back started. Again, I just want to remind everybody, this is a workshop and an opportunity to have dialogue among the board members and among our community to provide input on goals and direction. I know we're saying 2012, but if you've got an idea or something, let's voice it, and at least we don't have to knock it all around, beat it to death, but we can at least get it out there and put it on our list of possibilities. So with that said, I'd like to look at the goals here, and I really think it's important that we operate on a long-term vision, not something 1 or 2 years at a time. And I would really like to push our board and to consider that we look at budget planning on a 10-year rolling ongoing as far as projections. It doesn't have to be, we don't have to have an exact science about it, but I know with our new master plans in place that we need to really be looking long-term, and we understand our processes. We do know that there's new requirements that are always coming out from our the government and the regulations, and so I would I would say let's look at long term and versus a short term on all of our goals here and how that's going to affect us over time. Any other board members have any goals or something they'd like to add on here? And I know Rick's got a big presentation here on capital projects, but do you have anything to add, Vice President?
You know, we talked earlier about this improved transparency thing, and I'm baffled by that altogether. Explain that to me. What do you mean by transparency? Because I don't know how a board can be more transparent than meeting in public and publishing its results and having it taped and put on the thing. So we talk about this is a word that gets thrown around the community a lot, and I have to be honest with you, I don't understand it.
I appreciate that, and I think that Director Dawson actually hit the nail on the head when he said to maintain transparency. So when used the word improve, probably could have been to maintain. I agree. There's not a lot more I think that we can do other than provide more information on the website, which is something that we will be doing over the course. We'll always be populating it, but I want to take a big effort and put a lot of information that we don't currently have on there and put it on the website. So with respect to improve transparency, I believe you're correct. I think maintain transparency and to continue to do what we've been doing. Yes, I believe that we do meet and exceed any requirements that are required of us by law, whether it be the Brown Act, Public Records Act, responding to requests for information from the press, from members of the public. We're very good at doing that. And so I would say the maintaining is probably the better word, and I will change that.
I get that, but if there is, I'm serious in saying that if there's something more that we can do, or if we can exceed. I mean, I'm not limiting us. I'm just saying, what more can we possibly do? I just can't. I don't get it.
You're saying add more information.
Yeah, I think all of our, the public has access to all of our activities, and within the law of those closed sessions, and so I think we just keep on maintaining that and making that data or information available on the web will be a great contribution there.
I mean, some communities stream live. That's certainly a decision that this board could move into as something that if you wanted to be more, but I'm not sure that at this point in time the resources outweigh the benefit.
Any comments on water quality? Yes. Today. All right. I just want to make sure our goals are always to improve the water quality, and I know we're getting a good job at that, but let's look at our master plan now and see how we can improve that water quality.
On the master plans, as you know, they are coming to a conclusion, and they will be coming to the board hopefully February the 1st for adoption. When the master plans are adopted by the board, those master plans become a policy document. They are adopted by resolution. They're not something that we can follow or not follow. Once they're adopted, we have to follow them until this board or another board changes the policy and says they don't want to do this or do that. As President Steele indicated, they do provide a meaningful 5 to 10 year CIP forecast. The master plans will be, they will be directing staff as to what we will be accomplishing throughout the term that the master plan is in place for. And once that master plan is done and wrapped up, we'll be doing another one 10 years from now, or updates to it as necessary. It's also important to know that once those master plans are adopted, and they are the policy of this district, that any future development that comes in place, that those projects must be in conformance with the master plans. So that's something that needs to be addressed as well. The projects that we will more than likely be recommending to the board as that you've already seen the project listing and have gone through it, at least on the wastewater side. You saw the water one a few months back, and we're going to be bringing them back again here next month. But one of the things that is we're going to be recommending pursuing is a financing plan, how we're going to pay for them. And it's a fairly large capital number, and so the board will have some subsequent discussions on that once the master plans are adopted. But one of the things that has to take place is there are environmental requirements with the master plans. They become an environmental document in and of themselves. We can, for projects that are capacity-oriented and that are for maintenance purposes, that do not support future development, we believe that we can, that they are exempt, but if they do support future development, at that point in time, they would require an environmental document. It's been the recommendation of legal counsel that the developers get that once they bring their projects forward, that they go after and seek out that environmental review, because it's their projects that are triggering it, and so that's the process that will be taking place there. Like I indicated earlier, the Wastewater Master Plan Subcommittee, or Water and Wastewater Committee, will be meeting later in the week to address the changes to the Water Master Plan. And so we will have an opportunity to put the two together. And when we do that, we will have a list of projects that are required for current capacity and redundancy needs, as well as that are separate lists that are required for future development, so that when future development comes in, that triggers then the improvements. So that's it on the master plans at this point in time, unless you have any questions or if there's anything else you want to discuss relative to that.
I'd like, again, on the goals, looking at how we do our environmental management systems and our leadership standards. And again, I'd address making sure that we are looking at best practices and may take a look at the ISO 14001 type requirements. I think these are definitely a way that we can be in best practices and work, have a really we need a high-functioning, efficient system out here. I know we do our best on that, but this is a way of aligning that with the, best-of-class standards.
I think that with Veolia and their operational requirements, they do follow best practices, but to the best of their abilities, we do the same here. I've talked about best practices, especially on the financial side of things. In the past, and I think best practices are important, and that we try and follow those because we don't need to recreate the wheel. It's already been created. We just need to follow the best way of doing business.
I guess I was a little bit confused as to, I expected us to be able to discuss more today in this workshop, more of our master plan or at least discuss what our goals are for this year with regards to that plan. Are we going to have another workshop type meeting after the master plan's released that we can discuss the actual details? Details of the master. I mean, this seemed kind of premature for this workshop if we don't have anything to talk about.
The master plans themselves are, once they're adopted by the board, we can do it at a regular board meeting or we can do it at a workshop. It's the board's pleasure.
Are we prepared to do that right now?
No, the master plans aren't complete.
Yeah, wait with this budget then.
Yes, Farron?
What?
You ready?
Oh, okay.
The master plans are, this workshop wasn't intended to be a master plan workshop. It was intended to be a goal setting workshop for the coming year. We know that the master plans are on the horizon and that those are nearing completion.
I get that, and I don't mean to be I just didn't understand. I mean, if we're talking about what our goals are for 2012, we've discussed extensively that we have some major decisions to make with regards to 2012 and where we're going to go and where we're going to budget our money for the upcoming year, which is half of 2012. And I just didn't realize that there wasn't going to be a budget here for us to look at and that we weren't going to be prepared to maybe talk extensively about what the future holds with regards to those things, but obviously I should have known that, I guess.
Would you like to have that discussion at a special meeting, or would you rather have it adopted at a regular meeting?
I'm looking at Ray over there. I guess clarify for us then, please. We're going to be discussing the master plan on Wednesday. We're going to be looking at the final projects with regards to, with all of our consultants and part of our as us being part of the committee.
Yep.
And then the board will be receiving this. But I believe the board should be to discuss it in depth prior to approving it, so they understand it rather than approve it and then help me out.
The intent was on to have that conversation and approve it at the same time.
Oh, okay.
That the consultants will be here on the February 1st. All the consultants will be in the room. We will have that discussion on February the 1st, and then the board can adopt it or not at that meeting.
Gotcha. I'm sorry. Thank you for that clarification. So we'll bring sleeping bags.
We can
February 1st meeting.
Or we can do it as a special. I want you to be able to take. I want. That's okay. I want you to be able to take action on it. So I would not do it as a workshop. I would do it as a special meeting. If you wanted to do it as an off calendar, if you will.
I don't. You know, to me, it doesn't matter when we do it. But be advised that it's not going to be a short item.
Exactly. Understood.
I got to agree with Kevin here. I kind of came here today thinking we're going to pound this out, and then we're going to go to our meeting on Wednesday, and we're going to bring the finished product in. And at this point, I mean, I don't think that Wednesday, spending 20 minutes on it, is going to be enough, or 30 minutes.
I'm
not saying that.
And I'm sorry, President Steele, when you work together with staff on that, I would try to keep the rest of the agenda as light as possible so we can just focus. We probably have a fairly light agenda on the second meeting of the month, correct?
Well, actually, it's the first meeting of the month. But if you want, I just picked that date because it's a good time to do it. I was planning on doing it at the end of this month or the beginning of next month. So what I hear from the board, it sounds like you'd rather have that discussion at a special meeting on a separate day so we can dedicate one item to it and just knock it out.
I would.
Okay.
I can go either way as long as we just understand that should be the focus. Maybe you guys are right. Maybe it should be a special meeting.
It's going to be an extensive discussion. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and so if you want to dedicate the amount of time necessary to really discuss it, why glue it to a meeting where we're going to spend a half hour on it? It probably takes 3 or 4 hours.
Let me throw out another thing. As painful as it may be in some cases, this has a major impact on this town, and what we're going to discuss is things that we would like to disseminate to as many people as possible. Having it on a regular meeting night would have the most chance of having people here, and sometimes, you know, that's not comfortable because we hear things we don't want to hear, but I think we should just say clear the decks first meeting in February for pretty much everything but this.
And Director Simon, with respect, you know, we won't limit the time. We'll just take whatever time. Exactly. Yeah.
You got so much other stuff with that. But I agree. If it's the only item that we're going to be looking at, it takes 3 or 4 hours, that's fine. Let it take 3 or 4 hours. But it would be terrible to have it take 3 hours and have a full agenda on top of it sitting at midnight.
So let's schedule that.
The purpose of today's meeting is to the water and wastewater master plan. This is for goal setting for things that we haven't necessarily discussed. This is an opportunity for the board and the public to provide ideas and suggestions as to where you want to go in the next year. We know we're going somewhere with the water with the master plans. We know that's already taking place. That's not the primary focus of today's meeting. The primary focus of today's meeting is for the five of you to give staff direction as to where do you want to go this year. I provided a list. I work with Chris on the list of the goals, but it's by no means a definitive list. Things change throughout the course of the year as well, as you all know. I'm just trying to seek input from you as to what direction and where do you want staff to go in this year. If this list is fine, We're going to pursue these items. Is there something on here you don't want us to do? We're not going to do it. Is there something on here that's not on here that you want us to do? Let us know, and we'll go down that road. That's the intent, and that's the idea of today's meeting.
Can I just make a comment on your goal, this list of goals? To me, this is not a list of goals. It's some goals, but a lot of it is a list of just tasks we're going to do for the year. So why don't you have to – why isn't there the basketball park that we're doing? Make sure that's done. That's along the same line as a pickleball. I mean, I think we should do these things, but I'm not sure these are goals. I mean, they're just projects that we want to get done this year. So maybe we have a goal that says we want to make sure we get all our projects relative to recreation done or something like that, and not have this, because this is our goal. You know what I'm saying? These are just lists of things to do. I don't know if they're goals. Establish water conservation program. There's a goal. I think that's it. Establish the recycling. I don't know. Maybe that could be. And then Earth Day, that's a whole different thing. But, yeah, if you could, I think you could pare some of these things down to lump them into specific buckets and say that's what we want to do. That's what I need to talk about. And I was also under the impression we were going to be discussing more detail and getting into this stuff that we're not. So,
although, let me state that. Let me state now that
I have detail.
Hi, Farron. How are you?
That
I do appreciate you putting these things in front of us. I mean, these are things that are in front of us. We need to be aware of them. I appreciate, especially the page on issues. There are some very general issues there that we need to keep in mind at all times when we make decisions as a board. It's good to have those listed in front of us, and we can say, okay, when we make this decision, it's going to affect this thing. That's a great thing. I do agree 100% with Director Tetreault on the fact that I think we can narrow it down to 3 or 4 or 5 major goals, and inside of that, rather than break out, you know, increasing the internet service for the, you know, put that into a goal of
infrastructure.
Yeah, greater infrastructure, or work better with Veolia on their needs or some other that type of thing. But then for what it was supposed to be, it's pretty good.
Well, I put this together with staff's input, reviewed it with President Steele, and again, if this list, in its simplest form, is adequate, that's great. If there's, like I said, if there's something you want to discuss, we can add it. And it doesn't mean that it ends here. It can take place at any time. The board can give direction any time the board chooses to do something. So that's your policy opportunity as well.
So let's delve into.
I'm just trying to get my direction for the year. That's
all right. Let's go and be very specific on landscape and parks goals right now. And we've got a nice budget here that we can go over. But let's get specific on how we want our parks and landscape to function.
We can come back to this discussion later then.
Okay. Is that a go? Yes. Okay. All right. Well, the last quarter, our office, our department has been taking an inventory of all of our parks, of county as well as the ones that we own. I mean, down to how many rotors we have, how many spray heads, how many shrubs there are, how many square footage of turf, everything. The idea of having that inventory, besides helping us work with the county to determine transferring and you know, how much of a portion of that zone belongs to the park and how much belongs to the streetscapes, is also determining a schedule of when things need to be replaced. The county looks at their budgets and their capital projects into two separate categories. One is not just capital improvements, but also capital replacement projects. When you look at these budgets, 8 and 9 do not show that difference, the ones that we typically look at. But when we get into Zone 61, you will see two different capital sections there. Starting off with Zone 8, we estimated our operating costs for the next 5 years out so that we can kind of determine where we'd be for capital improvement projects on Zone 8, looking at our Parks Department over the next 5 years. Besides the stuff that we're going to complete this year, which were the, we did the ADA upgrades, we're going to be doing tennis court resurfacing, the tot lot removal, and the horseshoe and bocce ball courts. For the next 4 years, I also have in there that we moved the pickleball court project into the 2012-13 year. A replaced solar lighting replacements for the current pathway lighting. This do not have to be solar lights. We can use regular lighting, but we've been, the ones that we did at Ravenswood were very successful. It's a green project. I thought, you know, we can continue that throughout the community. That would be in 2013-14. And then a possible par course that we would install over a course of 2 years, 14 through 16, and then also bench and picnic table replacements over the next 2 years. I'm not doing them all at once because if we do it internally, and you know, we can get it done as part of our normal programming through the year with our own staff on both of those projects. On the streetscape side, we are going to complete Highway 4 this year. Well, we're hoping to. We've got some that may push into next year. Discovery Bay Boulevard East was completed. And then I'm looking at next year at Clipper Drive and doing the miscellaneous islands and levees throughout the town. I've asked for about $17,000 a year to start doing replacements in those areas, just as, you know, the ones that need it the most. Irrigations need to be upgraded, plant replacements, we need to do some removals. Those are small areas that we can also do internally and just set some money aside for them. The Clipper Drive, we had done a large design plan on that several years ago. I think that came back to you guys where the cost on that was $1.something million, and obviously the zone doesn't have the funds to do that and then to keep other things in replacement as well. The idea with the money that we'd spend on Clipper Drive, and if you look at the sheets right after that, there's some photos on the back side, the top left corner. The idea obviously is not a full replacement. Thinking about turning that that drive, Clipper Drive, into a parkway, a tree-lined street, where that is mainly what you're seeing is just trees and maybe some shrubs, like a shrub line along the wall, because we can't do any maintenance on the walls, so maybe we can hide them. And then it would just be part of our mulching program, so this would not be full. Sorry.
Yeah, the reason why we didn't do Clipper was because of the fact that it's on the levee, and, you know, Corps of Engineers and FEMA can make up their mind if they want. Mm-hmm. Is that resolved, or?
At this point, we would still have to do the same agreement we did for the Discovery Bay Boulevard project. But, and again, that part of that agreement is if it does come through that we have to remove things, then we're going to be, you know, that's our cost to remove them. So I don't want to do a full irrigation. That would be a huge cost to come back and remove that. I want to put in a couple new valves, a couple new stations, water some, you know, trees and bubblers, mulch the whole area, take out the dead stuff, and plant some shrubs along the wall. And just really let it be a tree corridor, you know. And
just do the best we can with what we got.
Yes. Yeah. But, I mean, it needs attention. So I don't want to ignore it. It's been something that's been on the radar a long time and nothing's been done. So the other things that we're looking at, I'm asking for next year, is a landscape utility vehicle. It's a Gator. It's a kind of cross between a tiny truck and a golf cart. But we are implementing a turf turf and soil health program this year. We're starting it on our sports fields, and it's basically applications of special soil amendments like sulfur and gypsum that are going to try to help get our pH levels down and to make better use of the fertilizers we're currently using. That is a multi-year project. We don't have equipment to easily spread that. The costs associated with hiring contractors to do that are a lot higher than the first year cost of even buying the vehicle. So, and then it'll also help with inspections going through town, going through the parks. I can drive somewhere, but I don't always have time to walk at all. And so going on a small vehicle like that would help us identify issues, you know, more often than we're seeing now. The pickleball court locations are shown in the photo there. We're looking at putting them next to the tennis ball courts at Cornell. You see samples of the pathway lighting replacements. I didn't get any details of the bases of those lightings along Cornell Park, but they're very rusted. They're old. They do need to be replaced. We're spending several thousand dollars a year just maintaining outages there in the lines. So are there any questions or concerns? Oh, sorry. I missed Newport Lane. I have that several years out, but Newport Lane does not have any landscaping. We've talked about that before, and I would like to plan to do that in the next several years. So,
I'd like to. This is good what you've got planned here. Definitely feedback from the realtors and some of the property associates. We got to do what we can to get this thing more beautiful. Definitely adding value. Our Highway 4, a lot of dead. Plants along that way. We definitely need to dress up the appearance, so that'll definitely help us in our value of being out here. The Clipper Drive, it looks okay. It's getting better than it was a few years ago, but definitely keeping these new plants and replacement ongoing. We really need to emphasize these replacements and get priority on it. I think that people coming into our community trying to look at moving here, look at some of these things and just wonder, you know, what our process is, and is it neglected or is it on the plan? But I know you've done a great job on the Discover Bay Boulevard and a lot of other places, and we just need to keep doing that. Anything we can do to improve the beauty and the appreciation for our area will help our property values and make it more desirable to want to stay around here. So appreciate your help.
Does anybody have any specific issues with any of the projects or things that have been presented? Anything they'd rather do? No? Okay. Zone 9 is a little bit quicker here. The main stuff that we're doing on capital improvements is, if you look at the pictures, they're original. When we put the solar lighting in there, we didn't do any lighting for the picnic areas or anything that goes into the playground. That's just something I'd like to plan for in the future, stay in line with the same product line we used for the solar lighting. And then below that is a picture of, it's actually just a shrub area right now where everything's kind of died out, and I would like to turn a portion of that pad into a concrete area that we can, and some small fencing around it where we could store during the seasonal use for the splash pad, where we could put a temporary restroom ADA facility there. We had lots of complaints about that last year. There's no funding for a full-size restroom, but we could do that during the season and have it serviced. And so I have that in the budget as well for that zone. So those are the only two new things. That zone is fairly new. There's not a lot of replacements. We do see some every year, you know, where you're just maintaining anything that's been broken, but we don't foresee any need for capital improvement or replacement in excess of what we've already done.
Well, they shut down bathrooms.
The neighborhood did not want permanent restrooms like that, but because of the use of the splash pad and how many people are there, people were calling in saying that kids were using portable toilets in the back seats and dumping it down the drain, and so we should have something there that they can use in emergency situations. So,
along the lines of establishing ownership and transferring ownership of the parks to the town, can you just address the board on what are some of the challenges? What do you see? Where's the challenge on the county side? And can the board get more involved?
Absolutely. we could definitely use the support. I think it's a discussion that there's certain people that need to be around the table. There's some formats that they're using with different agencies that to transfer ownership. We need to determine if we're if we can take the parks, we have to identify what's in. That's what part of this inventory has been over the last several months is what's the value of that park? What portion of the assessments that they collect for that zone can be attributed to the park, and what are we going to need to maintain that? Because it would be a transfer of funds after they would remain owner of that zone. The park would be transferred over to one of our districts, and they would still collect the full assessment amount, but then it would be divided, and they would forward that to us, to our district, for the park itself only. So, and that would be with all, if we took Regatta or Cypher.
So they're having a hard time with the formula to figure out how to get the, is the taxes?
It's something that starts, that they've asked us to start with on our side, is what do, you know, we would bring some numbers to them on what we think we would need the park to do, you know, what we would need to maintain the park, what we're going to want to do in the park in the future, and then they'll look at that and start negotiating from there, but that starts on our side. The part that starts on their side is the actual agreement and how the legal is going to happen to make that work.
The zones include more than just the parks. They include a lot of the other infrastructure, the streets, the sidewalks, lights, and so those all have to be separated out.
They don't include lights, sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry, but they include other things, and the parks themselves have to be separated out. So it's a little bit more of a cumbersome process than just turning over a park. Because there's legal boundaries, there's meets and bounds that need to be broken out.
And as you make these inventories, are you looking at it as is? Are you looking at the future, how it probably should be, or in a better state?
When we're looking at capital replacements, we're looking at, again, like we said, exact quantities of what we had, what the life expectancy is, what we're seeing at other parks. Some of our equipment, even though it has typically should be warrantied for 10 years, we're only seeing 7. You know, I mean, we're replacing things sooner than later. And so we're kind of trying to calculate when we're going to need to replace things. Cypher Park is also fairly new, and we've been maintaining it fairly well as far as replacing things when they start malfunctioning. And so as far as capital replacement projects go, there's not a whole lot coming up in the next 5-year forecast. You know, when you start looking 10 to 15 years out, yeah, you'll have to replace your playgrounds. You know, your playground should be on a 20-year cycle. You're going to have to redo the asphalt in the parking lot. There's just things that are going to come up. The fencing out there, you know, we should have stuff that we're going out and maintaining that, making sure that we have replacements. And we don't. We don't have stock of anything right now, you know. So there's a lot that we're trying to put into figuring out what that will be. Looking at the next 5 years of the capitals for Cypher, bringing up Cypher, we are doing a shade structure addition project this year. It's already in process. I don't know if it's going to hit this fiscal year because of the environmental reviews and how that process, how long that takes to work with the county and us and everybody that needs to be involved to get the projects going. But it is approved. It is moving forward. There are designs, and it's going through an environmental process. So that will happen in 2012 at some point, which fiscal year, I'm not sure. The other projects that I have that we had talked about, one, the dog park, I put that in 2013-14. I know this board wants to move forward with that. I don't see it happening this year until all of the other things are worked out with ownership. So I've moved it out a year. We can always, you know, move forward with that as fast as we can, but there's some hoops to jump through. And then also, I would like to do playground safety surfacing like we did at Cornell Park there. We are constantly replacing mulch. We are constantly having to go out and maintain that. And even though the cost of installing the playground safety surfacing is more than what it would cost us to maintain it over the next 15 years, the fact that we can't always be out there to make sure it's raked to the proper levels, I think that putting that surfacing in would help reduce our liability there and improve safety and accessibility. So I would like to do that project, and then also solar lighting, staying in line with all of our other parks and what we have in Discovery Bay, and just providing pathway lighting in our park for safety purposes for our community. Same thing we have at Ravenswood, same thing we have at Cornell, same thing we have at Regatta. Cypher is the only park without lighting. So any comments on that?
Are these budgetary numbers? Is there an inflationary factor in there?
These dollars? The playground surfacing is is about 50 cents more than we paid for per square foot than we paid for Cornell. And then there's also some money in there for design and bid costs. And then the dog park is what we budgeted in our last presentation. And then the solar lighting is its actual cost from Ravenswood when we installed, plus a cushion.
I'm looking out at like the 5 years. Is that to include a 2 or 3% inflation factor on these dollars?
And the capital, that's there's certain. I just put certain numbers in. Everything else on our everything above in the operating and maintenance, yes. For when you're looking at salary and wages, you have 3.5% a year added on. Looking at your utilities, our water increases are included in there. There's percentages. I tried to estimate our increases over the next 5 years for that side.
Any questions from the board? Any public comments
for our landscaping and parks? Do you like it? Good report, Farron. Thank you.
I just want to point out, I'm sorry, there were some streetscape projects there, and those are the last three for Zone 61 where we're doing replantings of stuff that have died over the last several years. And then as we do that in county-owned zones, there are some requirements for irrigation upgrades and water efficiencies that would be included in that. So those costs are a little high for just a replanting project, but I think we're going to have to do some irrigation upgrades as well. But that's it. So capital, that's it. Zone 57 is in there for you to look at, but there's no capital improvement projects planned for that. So.
Is there anything on the parks and landscaping side that the board would like to see staff focus in on that Farron hasn't touched upon in the coming year?
I'd be interested in learning more about the possibility of a water feature on the entrance to Discovery Bay Boulevard and those the north on the east and west side, if there was that design in there, just a rough number of what that might look like.
Well, we didn't want a water feature.
It's designed for. There's water. There's power and and drain and water.
Didn't want to spend the money.
No, in the future.
Yeah. On that subject, is the board wanting staff to come back with a report on that? Changing the front entrance to a water feature?
I think that's just a future agenda item.
Okay, thank you. All right, next item. If we can stay on this for one, the goals and in what we've talked about just for a moment. Again, I just want to reiterate. As we wrap up, as we move forward into this year, that we've hit upon the things that the board wants staff to focus in on. These are the things that we're going to be working towards over the coming years. So you're going to see some of these get some traction over the next year or so and beyond. Obviously, some of them are more long-term, but just wanted to get board feedback and let you know that that's what we're going to be focusing in on. And again, with respect to the master plans, we'll go ahead and do those as a separate item, and they will require, obviously, a fair amount of discussion.
We're working on the rates analysis. Is that part of our goals to have completed in 2012?
The capacity fee study is the contract's been executed. We are in the process now pulling together the information that they need to start their process. And that's all part of the master plan process moving forward. It's all part of the financing package as we go to finance the projects that we are going to be moving forward. That's all one of the components of the entire project.
Is that a 2012 goal?
Oh, absolutely.
We'll know those capacities.
We will have it done by the end of April, I believe.
With regards to that, staff, do we need to know what those are going to be? Forget it.
All right, let's move on. Any other comments, questions, any public feedback on where we are so far? All right, let's move on to item five. Staff, I want to turn that over to you.
Thank you. This came about, I believe it started when President Graves attended a seminar at the CSDA conference late last year, and then followed up with when President Steele and Vice President Graves and myself, and I believe Dina, participated in a webinar here in the room that was given by Brent Ives, and I was asked to get a proposal from Mr. Ives to conduct a board workshop as a facilitator to perform an analysis and have a study session on board dynamics, protocols, practices. Basically, it's a if you put it down to brass tacks, it's a team building workshop for the board. It allows the board to focus in from an outside perspective. They work closely with you. The consultant would actually come and meet with you one-on-one. He would then conduct a Saturday afternoon or a Saturday morning workshop with the board and with the public relative to board dynamics, staff interaction, as well as they revolve into goal setting and into just overall organizational dynamics. They can be very effective if you're engaged, and the outcomes can certainly be positive if you continue those outcomes on into the future. I've been a part of these many times in the past. Some work, some don't, but it all depends on the engagement of those that are sitting at the table. So I would probably suggest that if the board would want to do something like this, there's other consultants out there that we could get other proposals from. The benefit of Mr. Ives is that he's local. He actually lives in Tracy, and so the travel and expenses are limited in that situation. And I'm just putting it out there for the board to see if that's something that the board as a whole would like to pursue sometime in the near future.
Any comments from the board? Questions about it?
Well, I'll just address it because I was the one that initiated the comments, and that is that, first of all, it's probably twice the cost of what I would have expected it to be, and I'm not sure at that cost whether, well, I mean, the value's still there, but whether the board would be willing to put that value there. But I know that for a fact, and the reason this came about is because the perception is that this board's dysfunctional, and the perception is that by the community that this board is dysfunctional. And also, there's not a person on this board that understanding how staff works, what our interaction with staff is, what the responsibility of the general manager is, what the responsibility of the general manager isn't, how do you interact with that. All these things are very, very interesting and dynamic facets of running as an effective board, and we don't do it very well. At least not according to what I learned in the seminar, the 2 hours I spent in a seminar down in Monterey. And so it came to mind that it would improve our ability to work together. It would improve our ability to work with staff in a proper manner. It would improve our ability to move forward with issues and goals and those types of things as a board. And it would improve us and make us better and maybe help dispel that perception of dysfunctionality among the board, and that was my thought process behind it. I will say I didn't expect it to be $8,000. So with that being said, that was my thought process behind it. It would make us a better board. We bring in a third party that does this for a living and has had tremendous success. He's got all kinds of testimonials from boards that he has been successful with, that has improved their interaction with staff as we grow and our staff grows. We now have another manager on board. I just thought it might be important. That was my thought process behind it. Whether we take action on it or not, obviously up to the board. And that would be my statement.
I think that the cycle of election and those type of things, I would say this would be a great opportunity when we have a new board or a new board member that we look at it on those timing. You know, maybe it's something we would be good for us to look at next January. If you know when when we regroup and move forward, and maybe on those cycles that might be more effective. You know, it would have been really good for me when I got on the board to have seen that presentation a little sooner. I did get it a month or two ago in that live conference and video conference, and I thought that was those are useful things in terms, but we need to look more at those costs up front and the time involved right now. Is it the best, most effective use of our time, our energy? So. Let's hold tight. That may be a future agenda item. Any final comments from the public on what we've discussed so far or what you'd like to see in 2012? Any final comments from the board?
We still have a few minutes. I don't know if it's they want to or if it would work, but we have two gentlemen here from two developments. If they'd like to stand up and give us a status of kind of where their projects are, that would help on our upcoming meetings and what we're doing.
Yeah, that'd be very helpful to get a perspective on your timelines and where you are today. Thank you.
How are you doing? Good. As your general manager indicated, our draft EIR, which would then be released to the public, is done really except for the utility section that was waiting for the utility section is premised on your master plan. Because it was really outside the scope of the county's EIR consultant to be able to do the analysis that you all did at considerable cost with very qualified engineers and all the testing and things to identify specifically what are the deficiencies in your existing system and what are the improvements that are required to serve projected new development. You all went through and evaluated what would be the projected new development through the lifetime of the master plans and did an analysis that looked at that. And essentially, that analysis is going to be the bedrock for the utility section, and I would expect that our draft EIR will be released shortly after your February 1st meeting, and the master plan will essentially be the referenced or attached in the appendix to that EIR. The way that works with respect, and once that draft EIR is out, then we're sort of in the public process. I would anticipate that we would get through that process on our general plan amendment and zoning and final development plan probably 9 months after the draft EIR is released. The county board will be in a position to make a decision on the project. How that relates to your future improvements that we require in order to develop, one example being well 7, when the time comes for that well 7 to be constructed, whether it's constructed by you or constructed by us, how that all works out can be addressed at a later date. But that environmental analysis will be what's called tiered off of our certified EIR. And so if there's any additional detail that has to be addressed, like where is that well sited, are there any environmental or physical issues associated with that, that'll be addressed in that relatively small negative declaration, essentially what's called in environmental terms, and addressed that way. It'll be essentially relying on the information in our EIR and the master plan that's attached to our EIR. So that works out effectively. Essentially, the environmental review is based upon the, in terms of growth inducement, all the other things are based on our project. It's not like the town's going to have to do any more serious environmental review associated with those incremental projects that would be necessary to accommodate new development. But our environmental review is based on and requires the consideration of your full master plan that looked at all the development that might be expected in the town. If that's of some assistance.
Well, 7 is a growth-induced
Correct.
So it wouldn't be covered by a negative debt, right?
It would be covered within our...
Within your general...
Yeah, but the project that... The actual construction of that well requires its own environmental review. That environmental review is going to be tiered off of our development project if we were the first one to come in. It's all related. I think what your staff and your attorneys are trying to do is avoid going through a expensive and detailed overall environmental review to accommodate new development and instead say, new developer, you rely on your environmental analysis. Well, our environmental analysis relies on your master plan that's incorporated in our EIR and is the bedrock for that analysis. So you'll tear off of that, and it'll be an inexpensive process as a result. It'll just focus on details that nobody knows right now where the precise location of the well is. They aren't going to be very deep. They aren't going to be comprehensive environmental reviews because essentially you're doing everything inside the same footprints. You know, your wastewater treatment facilities are all within the same footprints, essentially. Your wells are in the same general location. So these are relatively easy environmental reviews to take place, but there's a requirement to look at all the growth-inducing impacts of what you're doing and those sorts of things. That's covered in REIR. So we're kind of working hand in hand.
When you started your project years ago, obviously you guys had a performer or a forecast to figure out what it's going to cost you to build a house based on hookup fees, based on water, mm-hmm. based on sewer, and you've carried it through the years with, I'm sure, incremental growth for the economy. In the event that you have to build the well, and in the event that obviously hookup fees are going to be much larger than you probably forecast 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, $2,800,
mm-hmm.
where does that leave your company?
We've anticipated for a few years now that the physical improvements required to your wastewater treatment plant and water service are going to be more than what they were before. So it is more costly. Whether our project comes in first or not, that's speculation essentially. We've anticipated that those sorts of costs are going to be out there. Ours is a big project. I mean, just the on-site infrastructure costs to create what we're trying to do are expensive. Could we develop that? If we went out right now and said we're ready to go and we could construct it, we wouldn't do it. The market's just not there to do that sort of thing at this point in time. It's a larger undertaking than that, but we're patient.
I think the question I'm asking though is, let's say your project came in first,
mm-hmm.
and it turned out that you had to put the well in well 7. Can you come out with a profit in your project, taking in the cost of putting a well 7 and hookup fees?
The cost of well 7 will be several hundred thousand dollars to $1 million. That's a relatively small percentage of the overall cost to do our project. It's not going to be the make or break to whether when and if our project moves forward.
No, but it still makes it worthwhile to build a site.
It doesn't.
Percentage of what you're going
to
profit from.
It doesn't impact the decision to go forward. Our other costs exceed that amount. I mean, for those things, the county general plan policies make it pretty clear. Those things that are exclusively necessary to accommodate new development in terms of water and wastewater improvements are to be paid for by new developers, not by the existing community. That's always been the position I've heard here. There are some improvements that are appropriate that are needed that benefit both existing community and new development. And to the extent that there are those improvements, that's addressed in your capacity fee. Is the way I understand it, and that's an appropriate way to do it. Is well 7 something that is exclusive to new development? I think that's a point that you all are going to discuss, because it obviously has a lot of benefits to the community as well. In the long term, not as many. In the short term, you're kind of getting by with what you have. That's for a future. I mean, whether if it's exclusive or less than exclusive, we're just, I mean, we're talking about percentages of that overall amount. We're not talking about the overall amount. I mean, I clearly recognize that there's a substantial benefit that's associated with new development to put that new well in.
Mark, just out of curiosity, since I'm not, I have not really been involved with that many EIRs. I was, in my experience with construction, it was always after you guys had already gone through all your offsite work and the
all
project
our pain.
All your pain was already done when I got came on board. But it addressed, I know it addresses traffic issues and that type of thing. So is it addressing the egress of vehicles from in Point of Timber Road out into the Highway 4
yes.
And whatever it would take to get the additional couple hundred homes? How many homes are you?
292.
Yeah, 300 homes basically mm-hmm. out there. So that all is part of that draft EIR, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see too, is how they're addressing. I look at things that way. How, yeah. You know, when is that going to be available for us to see?
Well, if you would please get your master plan adopted on February 1st, it'll be a couple weeks after that.
Perfect.
I think we might just do that.
Yeah, listen, we want it as much as you do.
I know you do.
Absolutely.
I don't. It's a well-conceived analysis. I know you all have spent a lot of time on it, that master plan, both master plans need to address, as they do right now, the analysis of projected requirements for service for new development. If they don't have that in there, they're flawed. That all has to be in there. With that, we'll end up having a sound environmental document. We will look better, you will look better when we go to LAFCO for a annexation and sphere influence change, because they're going to want to see that sort of stuff. You've done yourselves credit, I think, with those sorts of agencies, with the detail that analysis and the quality of it. And I recognize that takes time. Okay?
We're not doing an EIR.
But why aren't we doing an EIR for the developer and developers see
the developers do that.
Well, the county does.
The county does it. The developers pay the county for the county to do it. It's an independent analysis. The district does not have any land use authority at all. It's all through the county.
Okay, so if the EIR is insufficient, it's the county. Thank you.
Mr. Lovin.
Good morning still.
20 minutes.
No, I'm not going to take 20 minutes. I don't want to be here 20 minutes. So the specific question is, what's going on? Where are we in the yeah. course of our development and the different things that we're working on? Obviously, the economy has a big impact on what we've been doing lately, which is not very much. We've got an awful lot of lots that are in inventory out in Discovery Bay, and I think you all know that we also have a number of homes that we have in inventory as well. We took a point of view when the economy dropped. We didn't do what most other developers did and dropped our home prices. We tried to maintain our home prices, keep our neighborhoods, you know, up as best we could, and not participate in those things that maybe hurt certain neighborhoods. So we kept the homes in our inventory, and we found very good renters to move into those homes, and we think that we've been able to keep our neighborhoods up and through the course of that activity. We have a number of miscellaneous projects around old Discovery Bay, if you will, versus our Discovery Bay West project. There was the Wayfair Court project that we were working on for a little while. That's that basically an overflow parking lot across the street from the marina that we were Edgeview Court, excuse me, that we we're working on for a period of time. We basically dropped that. It just didn't make a lot of sense to move forward with that project. So that was something that was in the mill for a while, but has gone away. On the shopping center site, we have an application pending for a residential project. We were having conversations with you folks about the community center site being in there, and that really complicated how that project went forward, and we had fits and starts, and we didn't move forward as we worked on these community center issues. We didn't move forward with the development part of that. With you folks now basically adopting the thought process that would move that community center site onto the opposite side of the street, we're going to go back and take another look at that plan and try to plan out the whole property at this point in time. So we're taking a little step back. We're not going to completely remove our present plan, but we're going to take a look at it, get some good architects working on both the commercial aspect of it and the residential part of it, and then try to get a comprehensive plan to rework that site to something that's going to be an asset to the community. We also have a little piece of property that's immediately south of the Newport Point property. As I was sitting here, I was thinking about that. We're not doing anything, but that's just out there. That's another, maybe we ought to be talking to Newport Point about, adding that on to the south part of what they're doing. But that is another piece of property that we happen to own in the area. And then, of course, we've got Discovery Bay West with our inventory of both finished lots and unfinished lots. We've filed all of our final maps in Discovery Bay West, so all of those lots that are permitted are actually created as individual lots, with the exception of anything that might be done on the fallback community center site. So those are the only unmapped. We have the Lakeshore multifamily site/duet site. That's another pending application. That's something that we took to the Planning Commission and was approved by the Planning Commission with 64 multifamily parcels on it. It was an age-restricted community, condominium, apartments, depending on how we wanted to build that and market that. That was appealed by the Lakeshore community. And we've had, typically the program is that these appeals come to the Board of Supervisors quite quickly. And what we did, we just started into a dialogue with the Lakeshore community, trying to work with them on what the best way to approach that project is. Yes. It's on the corner of Point of Timber Road and Bixler. It extends from Bixler Road. It's on the north side of Point of Timber. Extends from Bixler Road to the entry into the Lakeshore community, and it's about, that's that brown area right where he's pointing, right there. So that had, we had mapped. Yeah, it's inside the wall.
Okay.
Right. And, the history's been a little complicated. We did different site plans where, if there's a desire for this not to be part of the Lakeshore community, maybe we'd access off a Point of Timber and then separate it from the community. And there's been a lot of back and forth dialogue, and we've been working with different makeup of that board over there. So that's something that we in terms of our setting of goals in 2012, we're kind of doing the same thing and saying this is something that we want to try to move along in 2012. So we did receive a letter from that association in the middle of last year outlining a program where they would be amenable to considering a smaller project, 32 lots, which would be duet lots over there. It would be more, the streetscape would be more akin to what's going on in other parts of the community. So that's just something we're going to need to work out, but with the association, what the amenities are going to be there, and then go back to the Planning Commission. And at that point, it becomes primarily procedural, we hope. But that's something else that we're going to be working on. And then, obviously, Discovery Bay West, we've got a lot of finished lots there. We've got homes designed to fit the different lot products we've got. The economy is going to dictate that we go in a very different direction than we were 5 years ago. So we'll be redesigning homes to fit the lots that we have already improved. That is the current condition of the project. You can see where the arrow was. There's a paved street that provides a secondary access out to 92Z lots. In the north, there's a triangular area there, and then we have what we call Lakes 7 and Lakes 8, which are the loop streets on the western part of the project there.
Is
that wanted to be gated as well?
Yeah, that is gated. All of that is accessed through the gate. There's three gates for that community. There's what we call the emergency access at the very north end of the project, and then there's the Denali gate, which is a resident-only gate, and then there's the Fallman gate, which is where the guest entries take place.
That remains inside the gated area?
Yeah, that all is inside the gated area.
What's this area here?
That's an open space area. We, still own that. I think as the project evolves and we get closer to the end, that can be part of the community common area, or it could be something that goes to a resource agency, or keep it ourselves. So. It is not slated for construction. It's actually behind a levee. There is, the lake community has a perimeter levee on it. It's actually higher than the levees are here. I think it's 2 feet higher.
It's not wetlands?
That area out there is primarily wetlands. It's not all wetlands, but it's...
So you probably have
to... It's probably 60% wetland.
Okay. Is it being farmed right now?
It has been farmed in the past. It's not being farmed right now. If you look out there, there's a fence that delineates where the wetland area is, and there's some other habitat. That's a Swainson's hawk habitat out there, and some burrowing owl habitat type stuff. And of course, it has frontage on the water, which is kind of. There you go. There actually is included in the Discovery Bay West approvals a marina permitted. We've always represented to the association that we're not going to provide that in any. That's not something we're going to try to do. It's permitted as a land use. It's not permitted as far as the state and federal agency approvals would go with that. We could try to get those, but we have chosen not to do that. Obviously, that Well 7 issue is of great interest to us as well. It's not clear to me. I don't know if you're prepared to answer the question whether or not. Though our understanding has been that Well 7 has both an existing community component to it and a expansion component to it, and I don't know if that's going to be part of your environmental documentation. If you're not ready to answer that, that's fine, but that is of interest to us. I think, obviously, for us, there's X number of units that we're going to be able to build until another water well is needed. I think our timing, I hope our timing is such that we are in a position to need that additional water capacity before Mark's project has said, that means the economy's good and things are going along and we're things are rolling again. So we hope that that's the case. I know there's issues, pertaining to how things get done or whatever. We're kind of hoping that you guys will at least incrementalize things and, move that approvals and the designs that along, and we can all figure out how it's going to get built. It's got to get built for us to get going, so we understand that and know what that means.
I know Balfour is out of our area here, but these projects come along, is there any, is the county going to ask you guys to widen that road at all, or is the county going to do that thing, or is that existing farmland?
I did 100% opposite of what you're thinking. It's actually, I'd like to have another conversation with you about that, because we could use your help on aspects of Balfour. Balfour, we designed Balfour Road.
For tractors?
No. We designed a widening. As part of our approvals, we did a widening. If you go up to Point of Timber Road. At the Point of Timber Road, we did a widening of Point. If you can
Point
slide
of Timber's great.
Okay, so we designed the Alpha Road to do the same thing all the way over to
Sellers.
There's some issues with PG&E relocations, and there's
PCC.
Is it?
Byron.
It only goes to Byron. No. We did Point of Timber.
Well, into Byron.
To Byron Highway,
right?
We designed the same improvement from Dixler to Sellers on Balfour.
and it got complicated, and they said, okay, Hope County, you're in a better position to do this because you know, the power that you have and the relationships with utilities.
When Chiquini Commission came to town a couple of years ago and they were looking at the building, we met with Caltrans, and the guy said, I'm going to tell you something off the record. He goes, you guys are so far on the back burner out here for us, because we're not going to catch up.
It's right at the end of the grid.
He said, we don't care about users. Yeah, well, I don't know if there's ever the issue.
It's not in this one. This is just...
There's a lot of that area also agricultural.
Yeah. But there's right of way. There's sufficient right of way to do all this. It was the same. I mean, it's almost an identical circumstance with Point of Timber. There's the old county right of ways are 50 and 60 feet wide. We're not talking about a four lane road. We're talking about a safety improvement that looked just like
adding a shoulder.
Yeah.
Adding 3 or 4 feet outside the line, widening the lane. That's all we're talking about.
It's
still 2 lanes.
Still 2 lanes, but it's got the safety shoulder on it, like.
Kevin's our transplant representative for the county. So, we dialogue. Yeah, come grab just our
I'd like we could use some help from that. I think that's
quality of life.
Right now, the answers that we're getting is that it's a PG&E issue, that there's a transmission line that needs to get relocated, and the transmission line. Relocations are handled by the Public Utility Commission. We did it ourselves as part of Discovery Bay West, and it didn't take any more time. So, it's taken right now. So, yeah. So, I think in terms of our considerations with you, Well 7 is probably primary, and we'd like to just make sure that we're all talking to each other and let's move along. Everything else is, we'll get it right.
Yeah, Bert, could you, Mr. Lennon, explain what you're doing with the 70 acres across Station 59?
Hoffman Estates Vineyards. Vineyard. There's 70 acres that is on the northwest of Point of Timber and Bixler.
One of the previous sites that we talked about for WB Center.
There's power lines go across that. So that's we're getting going on a vineyard here, Mr. Hoffman.
That's
AgCor
also, right?
Beg your pardon?
It's AgCor also.
Yes, that is. Yeah, that was when we did a redesign on Discovery Bay West. We put an ag preserve easement. That's not technically what it is, but essentially that's what it is. It's a grant deed of development rights on that for its future use. So it's and then we actually have a letter in to you guys because that was originally 17 acre parcels. We downzoned that. It's now 40 acre parcel, which fits the zoning, and then one smaller 75 acre parcel. And then there's two home sites approved on that. So we have a letter in here that we're waiting for an answer for, just saying, can you tell us, whether or not you're still interested in that site as a community center, and or do you have any objection to the home sites as you've laid them out on that drawing? So that's an outstanding item as well. Maybe you can add it to your task list to get done in 2012. Appreciate that. Anything else? Any other questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
For those of you in the room that don't know, I put this parcel up where the cursor is right there. That's the Fantagus property that Mark is referring to. I'm not sure if you knew where that was.
And then that's the, this is the open space.
All right. Any final comments from the board or future agenda items you'd like to bring up now? Final comments from the community? At this time, I'd like to end our meeting on time.
I did. Good to meet you.